Kunja Bihari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Text Number 41. Kvachet kastushnim aste samsparsha nirvrataha askanda pranaya ananda tadela militekshanaha kvachit utpulakastushnim aste samsparsha nirvrataha Aspanda pranaya ananda tadela militekshanaha. Translation. Sometimes feeling the touch of the Lord's lotus hands, he became spiritually jubilant and remained silent, his hair standing on end and tears gliding down from his half-closed eyes because of his love for the Lord. Purport. When a devotee feels separation from the Lord, he becomes eager to see where the Lord is. And sometimes when he feels pangs of separation, tears flow incessantly from his half-closed eyes. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka, Yugaitam Nimishena Chakshusha Pravrishayitam. The words Chakshusha Pravrishayitam refer to tears falling incessantly from the devotee's eyes. These symptoms, which appear in pure devotional ecstasy, were visible in the body of Prahlad Maharaj. Sometimes feeling the touch of the Lord's lotus hands, he became spiritually jubilant and remained silent, his hair standing on end and tears gliding down from his half-closed eyes because of his love for the Lord. Structure where you find the transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj are being delineated, and the work there starts very fine. Is the who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudev, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul. And the qualities are explained where the symptoms of Prahlad Maharaj's ecstasy are explained. And in this particular verse, we find that Lord Maharaj's feeling the touch of the Lord. Sometimes he would feel the absence of the Lord, and sometimes he would feel the touch of the Lord. And then he would remain silent, again, feeling the absence of the Lord. And here we find that Prabhupada mentions in the purport that when a devotee feels the separation from the Lord, he becomes eager to see the Lord. So, this is what translates to our own life, that we can feel separation from the Lord only when there is eagerness to see the Lord. And here, the whole process of sadhana bhakti is to cultivate that eagerness. Tatra lolyam ekam api mulyam. To cultivate that greed for Krishna is the goal of life. And these are simply the external symptoms of the internal qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. So, simply by seeing the externals, one can understand what is the internal consciousness of a person. And this internal consciousness will automatically or naturally give rise to these ecstatic symptoms. So, we were just thinking of how actually we can relate to these feelings of separation from the Lord and feel that ecstasy. Like once Srila Prabhupada was in Kumbh Mela gathering, and that was the question was asked by Prabhupada, who is, how do you know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And devotees told, because the Bhagavad Gita says, and there are so many acharyas who accepted, and then Prabhupada said no. And then devotees told, maybe the acharyas have told, that means then you are the acharya. So you have told us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada told, I am an old man. No one believes an old man. So then old man can speak so many things. So that is not the answer. And then devotees were thinking, now what else from the Shastra, from the Acharyas, we have discussed everything. And then Prabhupada, seeing the defeat, Prabhupada said, because when you serve Krishna, you feel the ecstasy. That's why you conclude that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the devotees were amazed, wow, we feel the ecstasy. Yes, Prabhupada, we feel the ecstasy. Therefore we, and Prabhupada said, just this would say that, so many lectures Prabhupada would say, just this American boys and girls, they had so much of opulence and so much of luxury, but because they all given it up, and then now they are worshipping Krishna. And Prabhupada would say, therefore when I talk with Christian priests, they ask, these are our boys and our girls, right? And they were never much interested in their own culture and religion. Now how is it that they have become mad after Krishna? And this was not what Prabhupada was saying, that these devotees are like feeling the ecstasy. It was the general observation of even a common observer that these devotees were feeling ecstasy when they were engaged in devotional service of the Lord. And one of the letters Prabhupada mentions that to one of his manager and one of his devotees, disciple, and then he says, he answers all the solution to all the problems, gives, he must do this and do that, and then finally Prabhupada says, but our business is to simply become mad after Krishna. And then sometimes Prabhupada would say that we have to become mad after Krishna. And we find, unless devotees were far out in madness, they couldn't have accomplished so much in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many centers were opening, so many temples were being opened, so many devotees were being made, and these devotees were, in the initial years, we could see them, we could see the enthusiasm in their lives. So here, the goal of the life is to attain that madness, right? And Prabhupada says that this comes by a gradual following of a process. So we find also in the Bhagavad Gita, where actually we start, and Prabhupada says, Bhagavad Gita is not a book of politics. Sometimes people think, oh, Krishna actually, it was a political move to instigate Arjuna to fight against the Kauravas. So just see, he sometimes employed tactics, sometimes employed duplicity, and sometimes employed knowledge as in the part of a political game. This was a subtle politics. But Prabhupada says, no, Bhagavad Gita is not politics, it's not a political maneuver, it is pure knowledge. It is pure knowledge. And why is knowledge required? Because right now the Jivatma is covered with a thick layer of ignorance. And therefore, to penetrate this thick layer of ignorance, knowledge, the sharp sword of knowledge is required. A knife won't do. The sword of knowledge. And we find an absence of this understanding of Krishna also gives rise to other ecstatic symptoms, like fear, loss of mental equilibrium. We find sometimes people who become defeated in life, who become dejected, and who become really morose and hopeless in their life, they also go into those ecstatic symptoms. Sometimes they become silent, sometimes they become angry, Sometimes they start beating. Sometimes they start throwing angry words at people, and sometimes they are like laughing to themselves. And then we say that person has gone crazy. Right? Similar action may be observed in a devotee. Then what is the difference? If externally the actions are similar, as we find in the case of Arjuna, his hairs were standing on end, right? He was trembling, he was shaking, his voice was faltering, and his hands were becoming wet, and the Gandiva bow was slipping from his hands, and finally he fell down onto the floor of the chariot. All ecstatic symptoms. Right? The Nectar of Devotion explains these ecstatic symptoms in a similar way. Seems Arjuna was in different kind of ecstasy, and Prabhupada says these are not ecstatic symptoms. Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita purport, the first chapter, these were not ecstatic symptoms. These were due to the loss of mental equilibrium because Arjuna was overwhelmed with illusion and bewilderment, overwhelmed with material lamentation. And then what we see here, that tears were flowing from eyes of Prahlad Maharaj. Arjuna also was crying, right? Krishna, I will not fight. And he cried and he gave up the bow. And Prabhupada says, these tears, lamentation, are all sign of ignorance of self-realization. And this compassion which Arjuna had was seemingly very close to the real nature of the compassion, but it was detected by Krishna as being a false compassion. Like a gold merchant knows how to detect the purity of gold. There is a stone which is called as gold stone, which the goldsmith has. And when the gold stone he just rubs the object which has to be tested as gold, and he just rubs on it, and then immediately finds if there is a smooth layer, it indicates that this is pure gold. If this has some streaks and has some breaks in between, it's not pure gold. So only a goldsmith can tell which is pure gold. Similarly, Krishna identified Arjuna's compassion, Arjuna's so-called symptoms which are of ecstasy, to be false. But then we find that Krishna enlightened Arjuna. Arjuna gradually overcame this grief by understanding of devotional service to the Lord. And then we find Arjuna was ready to fight. But after some time, when the Lord disappeared from the face of the earth, Arjuna again was overcome with another kind of lamentation. This time it was not for his own relatives, but this time it was for Krishna. And here we find that Arjuna is returning back from Dwarka, and unable to protect the queens of Krishna from the coward infidel men. Arjuna is now back to square one. Sometimes devotees' life come to like back to square one. After performing so much of devotional service, after doing so much of chanting, some stage comes in life where we feel, oh, I'm the same person as I was before Krishna consciousness. I'm feeling the same kind of lamentation, I am in the same kind of dejection, there seems no hope in life, even though I know everything, still it comes, it is a nature, because Prabhupada mentions in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita that the material world is designed in such a way that there is perplexity, it is bound to be full of perplexity. So here we find that Arjuna is coming back, and now Arjuna is trying to analyze what has happened, and then now his final conclusion is what Arjuna speaks here. Desha kalarthi yuktani rittapa upashamani cha haranti smaratas chintitam govinda abhitani me. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. And unless one comes to the platform of steady transcendental devotional service, one cannot experience this ecstatic emotions. Here it is mentioned that aspanda, pranaya ananda, that this relationship, this feeling of joy was because of a steady state, and which was coming also from the transcendental bliss, from relationship of love. And here Prabhupada mentions the secret of becoming steady in Krishna consciousness. There are some very wonderful statements in this purport, and Prabhupada mentions that the merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of Bhagavad Gita, so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to the material eyesight. And Prabhupada mentions further, very wonderful statement, material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of Lord's manifested energy. Thus the Bhagavad Gita or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord is also the incarnation of the Lord. There is no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and the Lord himself. One can derive the same benefit from the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. And here Arjuna is also feeling separation from the Supreme Lord. But here Arjuna is now taking shelter of those instructions, because these instructions are also not different than the Lord, because these are none but the incarnation of the sound representation which appears to the conditioned souls in a suitable manner. And this actually is a secret, and Prabhupada mentions here that this is the state, that as long as one is engaged in researching the solution of the problems of life, his knowledge is called jnana or purified knowledge. But on realizing the actual solution of life, one becomes situated in devotional service of the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita begins with the problems of life by discriminating the soul from the elements of matter, and proves by all reason and argument that the soul is indestructible in all circumstances, and that the outer covering of matter, the body and the mind, change for another term of material existence which is full of miseries. The Bhagavad Gita is therefore meant for terminating all different types of miseries, and Arjuna took shelter of this great knowledge which had been imparted to him during the Kurukshetra battle. So these instructions are compared to like the map. Suppose if you want to come from one place to another, you have a map and you have all the directions. But simply by having map, you are not going to reach there. Simply looking at the map and say, I have to go from here to there, is not going to reach you to the destination. You actually have to take that map and start following the instructions on the map. So most of the time, the process of hearing is understood to be as, is generally taken to be as theoretical. Especially when we hear regularly the Srimad Bhagavatam, it seems to be like a formal routine. Anything that takes place at a particular time, particular place, in a particular environment, like this time environment is changed, so there is some feeling of newness. Okay, there is some newness. Generally we always hankering, the soul is hankering for newer and newer experience. But the process of hearing actually gives that newer and newer experience when each layer of dirt is now removed. Every layer of dirt removed gives chance, gives opportunity for the soul to reawaken his dormant Krishna consciousness. And with progressive stages of hearing, it becomes natural to hear and glorify Krishna. It becomes the urge of the soul to engage in devotional service and to engage others in the devotional service of the Lord. And then from constant hearing, comes deep absorption. And when one is absorbed in that understanding, then one develops intimacy in relationship with the Lord. And Narottam Das Thakur mentions in one of his bhajans that do not think that this chanting Hare Krishna will not take you to the perfection of life, that is love of God. Most of the times, like, it's always a doubt or always a nagging issue in the mind. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm hearing every day about ecstatic symptoms, about purification, but am I really getting purified? Am I really experiencing Krishna in my life? And this is generally we think that execution of devotional service must bring this immediate result. Last year, Devami Swami Maharaj was speaking on the eve of Gaur Purnima, and he was speaking this wonderful example that just in the world outside, well, people are working very hard to become successful, how much they struggle and endeavor to achieve a particular status in life, to achieve one stage of perfection in their material life, and generally it is a lifetime. And he quoted one example that a very young man, as people think, the age of 45, he was considered to be young, to be an achiever. He became the CEO of one of the most successful food companies, that was McDonald's. And like, this was in Australia, and he was like, everyone glorified him. You have reached the pinnacle, the CEO of the most prominent and the most well-known institutions. Congratulations. They all congratulated him that all your life, all of the sacrifice and all of your efforts of the life are worth it. And this person was like elated, but unfortunately as time destroys everything. 2 years later, this young man died at the age of 47. And then everyone was thinking, oh. But then he said, no, his life was all worth it. He could enjoy 2 years of such a respectable post. It was all worth it. It was not in vain. There was nothing in vain. Just imagine, you work 30 to 35 years hard, working hard to reach a position to be lost in 2 years, and people glorify it. Yes, it was all worth it. It was not that even, it was not even the term of a government post, 5 years. It was less than that. It was less than half of that. But then still people claim, oh, it was all worth it. It was all that austerity that he performed. It was worth that all austerity that he performed. And similarly, if we extrapolate it to our devotional service, we have not spent 30 years in Krishna consciousness. We may have spent 3 months, 3 years, or at the most 13 years, right? And then we feel, why is that success not coming? Why is that glory or experience not being achieved? And then we are not talking of achievement which is going to be there for only for some few years and people will glorify you. Yes. Oh, you became a pure devotee for 2 years. It was all worth it for. Right. It is not like that in Krishna consciousness. Once a pure devotee, always to become a pure devotee, and that means to go home back to Godhead. We are working for something which is not going to be destroyed by the force of time, not to be eroded by moments of history, and not to be forgotten in the sands of time. All this is a permanent asset. We are all working, we are all achieving, we are all going towards a permanent asset. And that is why Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in this Upadeshamrit, Utsahan Nishchayat. And if you have simply enthusiasm in performing Krishna consciousness and you have confidence, but then that confidence and enthusiasm can be altogether destroyed by lack of patience. And therefore, patience is the primary quality which exhibits the symptom of faith. It is Shraddha in the beginning, where one is having the faith, okay, this is nice place, this will get me to the perfection of life. But then, towards the progress of Shraddha to Anartha Nivritti, which is a long haul, Anartha Nivritti. And generally, it becomes too monotonous. Everything becomes monotonous. And Anartha Nivritti, just being on the platform for long, even if you stand on platform, on a railway station platform for a long time, even if your train is not going to come, you will rather think, okay, let me go in the reverse direction and then go back. Rather, I can't stand in one place. It's so much infected. The Kali Yuga is infected with this very vicious quality of impatience. Why? Because everywhere we find people getting things quickly. We find people achieving their desires very quickly. And people experiencing happiness quickly and also distress very quickly. It is all a quick fix world. And therefore, even if you do something wrong, okay, you get the reaction immediately. So you feel, okay, this is wrong now. It's like that, you know, you touch a live wire and you get current. But imagine if you're touching live wire and you're not getting any current, then you start losing faith. Maybe there is no current in this wire. It's not a live wire. It is just a wire. So just holding on to bhakti and you're not getting some ecstatic symptoms, some shocks, like as people get in other religious organizations. They go and immediately they get shocked and they feel, oh yes, I'm seeing Krishna everywhere, I'm seeing God everywhere. You talk to these people, said, I've attained perfection. We were talking to one of these people recently, this new group has come. And every day, every year we find there are some new groups coming in. Immediately if they come and they said they have attained perfection. They were never in the picture for so long. And suddenly coming out from the cave, they say that, you know, I have, now there is nothing else to do for my life. I am completely in harmony with my existence. And they use such lofty words. But actually they are not even feeling a tinge of pleasure which is experienced by a neophyte devotee who experiences the bliss in the kirtan of the holy name. They have never experienced something like that. And therefore, a devotee, when he goes back to his previous conditioning, he now realizes the value of devotional service and the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Because we are already in that travel, we don't experience how far we have come. And here we find that it is a must to develop this quality of patience and faith. So here Arjuna is also experiencing that same feelings of separation. Prabhupada says the feelings of separation are also the sources of transcendental bliss, and they are never comparable to contaminated feelings of separation. And as a result of that, Arjuna's increased remembrance, Arjuna's feeling of separation increases constant remembrance, and it is rapidly increased his devotion. And as a result of this devotion, everything in his mind, all the contamination, was now destroyed. And therefore it said, Iti Shodakasha Nam Nam Kali Kalmashanashanam Nata Parotaropaya Sarva Vedeshra Dushyate. If the Vedas declare with all patience that Harir Nam, Harir Nam, if the Vedas have the patience to say one Brahma Vakya three times, right? The Vedas, they mention this word. It's not, no, Sanskrit is such a beautiful language that a word encompasses a whole meaning, a purpose, and a whole theme maybe. What to speak of sentences? A word in Sanskrit can encompass something which is beyond our experience. So if the same scriptures, if they are mentioning in the scripture Harir Nam, and then it should be understood that, you know, Harir Nam, that's all. But then Harir Nam, okay, that's also enough. It's twice. Now you have transgressed the limit of Sanskrit. Right? This is not the Sanskrit grammar. To repeat, repetition. And Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, The repetition is necessary to emphasize a particular point. Why? Because brains in Kali Yuga are dull. Right? They have become thickly covered with the forces of illusion. And therefore, again Hare Ram. And then that should be enough. That should not be more than that. Okay. Generally they said, okay, if not one, then at least three. If not two, is not generally accepted. So we say, okay, anything, do it three. It is auspicious. So auspicious, okay. Okay, now we are doing for auspiciousness. Okay, fine. But then why Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Eva He? Eva means only, and He means certainly. Such a deep, it's just going deep. There is no limit on the depth of this verse. And then, Kevalam. Just imagine, a Sanskrit scholar would say this is all redundant. Eva, He, and Kevalam. All signify only one meaning, that you have to take the name of Hari. That was also possible by one Harir Nam. But then Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam. And Eva, that is only. And He means certainly. And Kevalam means indicating that sufficient. This is sufficient. Natah, again, now this was enough. This was too much. Right? It is over-emphasized. And even after emphasizing three times, it is also over-emphasized for another three times. He, Eva, He, and Kevalam. So now, it has become doubly auspicious now. It has become a pair of three. Right? And doubly auspicious. But then, it says, if it has still not penetrated your dull brain, another phrase is coming. Just wait. Na ataha. Therefore, no. Ataha, nataha, paratara. That means even if you think, no, even this holy name is nice, but there could be something else better than the holy name. There could be many such things like holy name which can deliver the fallen souls in the age of Kali Yuga. So therefore you say, okay, nata upaya, okay, then fine. But then it says paratara upaya. That means no greater solution or greater process. Nata paratara upaya. Don't look for solutions anywhere. And it is hammering. This is a hammering verse. If you have not understood once, okay, another hammer. If you have not felt the blow too much, another. Six hammers down the way. And still, there is no sign of change. Okay, and then it goes the other way around. And then it says, Nata Parataropaya. And says that, okay, if you think that it is someone's opinion, some one person's opinion, right? Oh, only this person, it is a biased opinion. He is too much attracted to the holy name, therefore he wants to glorify. And it is his personal choice. So it is not a personal choice. They say, Sarva Vedeshu Rishyate. They are all looking up to that holy name. Sarva Vedeshu Drishyate, and also it is their opinion. All of this revealed scriptures, they are all imploring the Jivatmas in this age of Kali Yuga to simply take the shelter of the holy name. And only this holy name can only salvage the encagement of this conditioned soul. And therefore, we have the greatest opportunity. Just imagine, the shloka is there, but the shloka would have never been revealed to us. We are discussing it we have heard it. We have heard it many times. And probably we will hear it so many more times. But all of these things were not revealed. And even if you were revealed, it was not enough for you. Oh, you just know it. Arjuna would have heard the whole Bhagavad Gita and said, what a fantastic class. It was a nice class. I am going back to the forest. Anyways. Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita to transform his heart. And therefore, chanting the holy name is for transformation. And here we find Arjuna's heart is transformed and not informed. Sometimes we are well informed, okay, yes, this is the scripture, this is how we have to do. We are well informed. But then, well transformed is the purpose of being well informed. Therefore, even if we find hopelessness and moroseness, that even if I know everything, I still lack ability. I still lack the qualification to pick up this gift. Right? And then the greatest bonanza comes. That what is the super bonanza in this age of Kali Yuga? Is that the Lord Himself comes to give you this gift. He personally comes. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Tesham aham samurdharta mrityu samsara sagarat na bhavami chirat partha mayya veshita chetasam. One who is simply absorbed in me, in engaged in offering worship to me, mayya veshita, one is always absorbed in thoughts of me, what do I do to that person? Tesham aham. I personally come to that soul. What do? Aham samurdharta. He is struggling in this ocean of material existence. What do? I simply pull him. Tesham aham samudharta. That is, I don't send some agents. I myself personally deliver. And how? Na bhavami chirat partha. That means, no, don't think. I will first come, then observe you. Are you trying hard? Are you really serious? Right? Are you really qualified? No. Bhavami na chirat. Immediately, even without the loss of a moment, I will come and pick you up. From where? Mrityu samsara sagarat. So here Krishna is offering this protection, this guarantee. But then, it is a Bhagavad Gita verse, finally. Right? We find, oh, it is in that book. It is a particular chapter, one place, and how does it come in my life? And Krishna says, Arjuna, very simply, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam charanam raja. And we find that Arjuna is not starting another dialogue after that. Right? How to surrender to Krishna? It's not like that. Then we would have started another verses, sequence. Arjuna, when he heard that shloka, sarva dharman parityaja, he just applied it. But then, for us, this is the Mount Everest, the top. And we have to climb up till there. And there, when we achieve from there, the airplane will come at Mount Everest. Suppose you are told that, okay, only when you count the Mount Everest, climb the Mount Everest, then the helicopter will be there and will go to, or that Vaikuntha Airlines will be there at, from there, and then you have to go to spiritual world. That is the via way. That you have to reach there first. And that is Krishna's demand. You have to reach there first. You have to reach that peak of Sharanagati in order to become free from all sinful reactions. So then, in Kali Yuga, no one dares. Very few people dare. And even those people who eventually climb, they are not, it's not that when you go there, some airplane is coming. You have to come back down. So, it is the only divine intervention of the Supreme Lord who comes in a very disguised fashion, who comes very secretly. Sometimes the rebellious conditioned soul, many times we ask people, come to this satsang program, come to this program, come to this seminar, and then they will say, no. One person was saying that, I've been told by my parents not to go to the ISKCON temple. Right? And it is not that his parents are denying. Right? He goes to many other places where his parents don't deny. Why just the ISKCON temple? Right? But then, it is his fear that if I come to Krishna consciousness, if I come and associate with the moment, with the devotee, I will be shaved off. That is the fear. Right? Ma suchaha. This verse is creating fear. When Krishna is saying, sarva dharman parityaja, ma mekam charanam raja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo, moksha ishmi ma sucha. Krishna is saying, don't fear. And people are fearing because of the shloka only. Sarva dharma paritya, really? I have to give up everything? No, no, not this lifetime. And then people are fearful. Therefore, if you say them that we are going to deliver you, right? They will say, no, no, I don't want to be delivered. I want to be bewildered. Right? I want to get bewildered. I want to forget that there is Krishna. Therefore, sometimes a devotee, when he goes back to his material life, he tries hard to forget Krishna. He is somewhat like the trainee gopi. The gopis in their advanced stage, or in their natural consciousness, they used to close their eyes and they used to cry. And then Narada Muni is saying that, what are you doing? Why are you crying? He says, we are trying to forget Krishna. But we are not able to forget Krishna. So similarly, a devotee who actually left Krishna consciousness becomes a trainee gopi. He also tries to forget Krishna. But the taste which has come in his life, Krishna says, this taste will always keep on haunting him. Right? The prasadam will always pull him back. Any point, in fact, this is the most non-controversial item or process. This is 100%. As the Prabhupada said, this is a sure shot process. This is the impenetrable program of Krishna consciousness. This is called the invincible weapon or the secret weapon, which everyone knows, which everyone understands, but still everyone surrenders to it. There might be all deviations, or there may be all differences in philosophy, in practice, in the people. These people are not good, these people are like that, they do like this, and the philosophy is this way. But prasadam, we like our prasadam. There is no difference in opinion over prasadam. So Krishna gives something to hang on, something to latch on to. So you might say, this is the secret avatar, the prasadam, right? Is this the secret weapon? Is that the divine intervention in your life? That's how divine intervention starts. No one hears the philosophy sometimes, but just gets prasad. Sometimes people just come to the program when the program ends, and they just pretend to sit there. They are with their mobile phones, they are doing something else, but they are just making themselves attending. I am attending for prasad. That is, I am attending some part of the lecture. Right? So their mind, it is rebelling. No, I don't have to hear anything. I don't want to hear anything. This is what I don't want to follow in my life, the whole life. I will never accept this philosophy. But then when the time for prasad comes, they are first in the queue and they are asking, put more, put more, put more. So the virus is entering inside. They just copied one file. They didn't want the other program. They just copied one small file and they thought that it is safe. I have not copied the whole folder. Right? So then little file, all the virus is small program, and it infects the whole data. So there 3 years of consistent virus, if it is there, it is 100% that he has to come to the devotee and say, Format my hard disk. Install the new software. Install the software of Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna, and put only songs, only kirtans. So, this is what happens. But then, this is not the secret weapon only. This is not the divine intervention that we are talking about. What we are talking about is a real divine, and really comes secretly, and just takes you with surprise. And that is all merciful, the golden avatar, the most munificent, namo mahavadanyaya Krishna prema pradayate. He is not giving Krishna. He is not going to give us Krishna. He is going to give us Krishna prema. And we don't know even what is Krishna prema, and still he is giving it. And how? Mahavadanyaya, not vadanyaya. He is maha. We say, okay, this is maha. This new soft drink has come. It is a maha. It's a maha version of the previous one. Right? So he is a maha vadanyaya. Krishna Prema Pradayate. And Pradayate means just gives, does not demand anything in exchange for that. And sometimes when you feel very morose and hopeless, this is the time, this is the wonderful occasion which we are approaching very close by. And the more people say, oh, we are unqualified, that is the qualification to receive the mercy of this golden avatar. As Shri Gaurapurnima is just arriving around next week, it is another super bonanza. It is a free offer, sales. Everywhere it is mentioned that whenever the sale has started, it is said sale 50% off. Right? And but this is 100% off. You just have to enter the showroom, pick up the goods, and you have to just go. And what are the goods? The holy name. Right? Freely, free access. And only qualification is the eagerness to receive this gift. And sometimes, as we discussed, that people don't want it, but Mahaprabhu's mercy is that it will fall upon you. Just like in our mind, the more we try to think, not think of a particular thought, only that thought clings and keeps on cycling in our consciousness. Similarly, the people in this Kali Yuga, they don't want this. And the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are more eager to give those people. He is not chanting. We have to make him chant, because he does not like chanting. So we have to make him devotee, like Nityananda Prabhu. These people, we'll make them devotees. There are many other people who are there. But Nityananda's mercy fell upon, glance fell upon these two drunkards, the two most abominable humans. And then, if we still don't believe in something magical about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I remember Devani Swami Maharaj speaking about a very nice story, a real life incident, which actually illuminates the causeless, forceful entry of Lord Mahaprabhu's mercy in our life. He said there was a person in Australia who, and therefore actually Hare Krishna has become a big household buzzword. Everyone knows Hare Krishna. And then some people are, because they hear too much of Hare Krishna, they become a little resentful. That is the nature of the conditioned soul. And so in that place in Australia, there were people actually, where people had just become resentful, and then they had heard so much about this that in once, actually this was also in Scotland, in one time where devotees rented huge billboards and painted all the billboards with, overnight they painted Gauranga, all billboards, all over the city. And everyone was saying, who is this Gauranga? There is no ad, there is no telephone number, there is no email address. Gauranga, what is this Gauranga? Everyone is chanting the names of Gauranga. And then this became such a famous word. And these people, these envious people, they didn't like devotees chanting. So these devotees, these people who were envious people, they designed a game. This was a theft, car theft game, where you steal a car, you drive it, and you chase the cops, the police, and there are many obstacles in between. And at some point of the time of the game, the more obstacles you cross or hit or you pass by, you get more points. But then at certain stage, towards the end, you reach a group of people. This is a video game. It is not a movie. This is a video game. They actually people play in video parlors. And then in the last, an option comes, or the stage in the game comes, where there are a group of devotees chanting Hare Krishna on Sankirtan. And now you have to ram the car on all those devotees, because they really want to become resentful of devotees. They want to express their hatred. So ram on them. And as soon as you ram on all of those devotees, immediately a word comes, a big message comes with a sound, Gauranga. And like people saying, wow, Gauranga, I got them. Gauranga, I killed all of them. So that would be like the spirit. because Gauranga also became a famous word at that time. So this boy in Australia was playing this game, and he was very expert, a 16-year-old boy. He was playing this game and he was expert, especially in ramming all the devotees. And his friends would say, "Hey, you got it, man, this time, very great. Gauranga." Yeah, he said, "Gauranga, I got it. I rammed all the devotees." And we were very happy and doing that. And he would keep on playing. He was become an expert in this game. It was his favorite game. He could not give up this, and like, never forget this word, Gauranga, coming on the screen. So it happened that generally, sometimes in the West, it's not designed like an ISKCON temple. So he just happened to be in a place which happened to be an ISKCON temple. And then he just heard, Nithai Gauranga, Nithai Gauranga. I said, "That's my Gauranga. That's Gauranga. Maybe he's the one Gauranga. I want to know who is this Gauranga." And he came accidentally with the same devotees. And he became a devotee of Gauranga, real Gauranga, not the game. And he became a devotee, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and initiated disciple. And now he is a typical ISKCON devotee, wanting not to become a devotee. And not only not to become a devotee, but blaspheming and running over devotees, this game, and feeling joy in giving pain to the devotees. Such a person becomes a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this wonderful shloka that comes in the Adilila chapter 2, it says that Krishnotkirtana gana nart kal patho jani brajita Sad Bhaktavali Hamsa Chakra Madhupa Shreni Viharaspadam Karanandi Kalat Dvaner Vahatume Jiva Maru Prangane Shri Chaitanya Dayanide Tavalasal Leela Sudhaswaradhuni. O my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarian Ganges waters of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert like tongue. Beautifying these waters are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. These devotees are compared to swans, ducks and bees. The rivers flowing produce a melodious sound that gladdens their ears. And this is just to relish the sweetness. And what has Mahaprabhu come to give? Something which is which we are talking about today, the feelings of separation. And Mahaprabhu was an embodiment of feelings of separation, because he's come as Srimati Radharani, and his main intention is to experience the ecstasy that Srimati Radharani experiences in the love of the Supreme Lord, in the love of Krishna, and actually she is away from the Lord. Generally, suppose if we get something nice to us, maybe we have a nice gadget or we have something very, very valuable asset that we hold very dear to our hearts. The more it is away from us, the more the remembrance is there, and we associate with that object, a person, more through our consciousness than actually when we have it physically. That's actually the pleasure game in the material world. The more you are trying to achieve those things in this world, you are more conscious of them. Suppose you want to become a very big man, you want to become very rich. So all throughout you are working hard, but the consciousness is that post, that money, that opulence. But when you get it, when you become, when you have it, then you feel no pleasure in it. And then you feel that I have achieved it now. Now what else? Because the nature of the soul is to experience nothing material but only spiritual. Similarly, in actually experiencing a feeling of separation, which Srila Prabhupada said, the line of Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya devotees must practice Krishna consciousness in the mood of the feelings of separation, that one has not seen Krishna. While all the people in this world are saying, "I have seen God, I have perfected my life," even the Goswamis of Vrindavan, who are actually the most perfected beings, they were crying out, "Hey Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kutaha, where is this Krishna? Where is Srimati Radharani? Are they in Govardhan? Are they on the banks of Radhakund? Where are they?" And Prabhupada said, just by understanding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one must employ one's intelligence to understand this incarnation of Lord. And when one simply gets a little drop of mercy of Mahaprabhu, he will understand, not only understand, but he will achieve the perfection of life. We all ourselves, at least myself, I can say that is an example of that mercy. We never wanted to become Krishna consciousness, we never wanted to become devotee, we didn't know who is Krishna, we don't know what is love of Krishna, but we are talking about it, we are giving classes, we are hearing about it, we are singing about it, we are experiencing a little joy in the experience, in the association of devotees, chanting the holy names. So, if such a person can receive so much of wealth, then why not we can achieve the perfection of life, that is love of God. So this shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam is replete with deep meaning, as the foundation is absorption in Krishna by recitation and in great feelings of affection and separation, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And then the natural outcome is that we'll experience all these things, and then we find why people are not discussing if they're feeling the ecstasy. Why we don't see in the audience that sometimes tears are maybe because of we have not slept properly, right? Or we have woken up too early. And sometimes new students, when they come to Krishna consciousness, they get up early, and we find that their eyes are red, they are watering. So we ask, are you feeling some ecstasy? So no, I didn't sleep the whole night yesterday. I had to get up for Mangalarti. So why devotees are not telling, I also got little ecstasy. Well, I am feeling now more ecstasy than previously. A devotee who has ecstasy, real ecstasy, never tells that he has ecstasy. Right? That's why we find that we are not finding devotees discussing, did you get some ecstatic symptoms yesterday? How much you got? We don't discuss that. Srila Prabhupada, when he was giving class sometimes, when he was in Caracas, he was inviting Shishi Gaur Nithai. It was the welcoming ceremony, installation ceremony of Shishi Gaur Nithai, and Prabhupada was singing this bhajan, Parama Karuna Paho Dvijana. As Prabhupada was singing this bhajan, Prabhupada choked in the middle of the bhajan, and in fact in the middle of the class after this bhajan was sang, and he could not continue. And he was not saying that, sorry for the ecstasy, I'm sorry the ecstatic symptoms are coming. Now you all meditate on these ecstatic symptoms and you also feel the ecstasy. No, Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. And just kept quiet. Sometimes Prabhupada would chant Radha Madhava and go into ecstasy, and we could find Prabhupada full of this ecstatic emotions, but he simply tried to cover and hide the symptoms. Why? Because people will then take all these ecstatic symptoms very cheaply. Because the nature of the Kali Yuga, what is the highest is taken to be the cheapest, most valuable, and what is the most cheapest is to be taken as valuable. So we don't find devotees discussing how ecstatic they felt, and even if they really felt ecstasy, they are not telling that, so you have to understand by their faith that a person is enthusiastically engaged in Krishna consciousness, serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, becoming a participant in the mission of Mahaprabhu's preaching mission. It is understood that Prabhupada said, these people, I have not bribed them. These American boys and girls, I have not bribed them to chant Hare Krishna and to do all these things. Because they are feeling that ecstasy, that pleasure, because they are feeling their contact with Krishna, therefore they are surrendering and they are engaged blissfully in Krishna consciousness. So the symptom of ecstasy is dedication, commitment and complete faithfulness and loyalty to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Nothing but that. And even if anything else comes, any excess that comes in the way of this mission, it is considered to be an impediment. As Daruka, the servant of the Lord, the pure devotee of the Lord, when he was fanning the Lord with the peacock fan, Mukunda was fanning, was a physician, and he was in the court of Nawab Hussain, and this Nawab of this place, and then he was seeing the peacock fan, and immediately he remembered Krishna through the peacock feather, and he remembered the beautiful form of Krishna, and he went into ecstasy. And he had an epileptic attack. Coming into that ecstatic symptoms. And then finally when people said, what happened to you? Oh no, it was just an epilepsy. He didn't say, it was ecstatic symptoms. You will not understand. You are neophyte devotee. Don't try to imitate these ecstatic symptoms. And therefore, when I think Daruka was fanning the Lord with the chamara, and because of intense affection and emotion, tears were gliding, were actually swelling in his eyes, and he could not see the Lord, and because of that, his attention was diverted, and he could not fan nicely. So he chastised those ecstatic symptoms, and he checked those symptoms and felt that this so-called ecstasy is impeding my service to the Lord in giving pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, I reject these ecstatic symptoms. I ignore them. So a devotee is not concerned whether he feels the ecstasy or not. He has that nishtha, and he steadily, on a steady platform, continues to engage in the process of hearing, chanting, associating and serving the Lord in ninefold processes of devotional service. And that means iha has yasya harer dasya karmana vanasa gira nikilasu api avasthasu mukta sangam param vrajet. A person who is just engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness, following the orders of the spiritual master in this life, is considered to be liberated though living in this body. Therefore Prabhupada said, you are all pure devotees. Prabhupada said, we are pure devotees. Someone asked, how many pure devotees Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, find out how many devotees are there in the moment right now. They are all pure devotees. Only that we have not realized that stage, but we are on that path and we are soon to achieve it. And if not for 45 years, till at least in one lifetime we achieve that eternal goal of life, it was all worth it. Right? Even if we did not feel that, even if we did not get all that, still we got the ecstasy in the process of Krishna consciousness. Susukam kartam aviyam. Therefore, this process is itself blissful, this process itself is ecstatic, and if it is not, it is made more ecstatic by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, and we can understand by constant emphasis that the Vedas also emphasize here on the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Any questions? One or two?
Hare Krishna Babaji. Thank you for the wonderful lecture. I just wanted to know this, like, many times in few places, so that we should be enthusiastic in practicing Krishna consciousness, we tell that we should practice properly because we have to go back to God at this lifetime itself. Otherwise, it's not so easy. And again, we hear also that it is sure that we will go back to God at this lifetime. So what consciousness should we keep exactly?
As we find here in the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to come later, he is not concerned more about himself. He said, I am not concerned about myself. And there are so many, as far as concerned, there are so many Babas, Mauni Babas, who are practicing austerity in the Himalayas, and they're all interested in their own salvation. But for myself, as long as there are any living entities, any foolish rascals who want to stay in this material world, I want to be there, here, be here to deliver them. Of course, we are not here to deliver anyone, but at least when we think, oh, will I go home back to Godhead? Will I ever make it? Or how will I make it? The process is there. It is not that you have to place emphasis on the goal right now, because the process itself is the end. The means and the ends are the same. So Prabhupada never said, oh, you have to go home back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, you are already in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said, all of my temples are Vaikuntha. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, we were hearing yesterday, Prabhupada never went and visited all the holy places in Vrindavan at that time. Oh, and like we go, then we go to Parikrama, go to Vrindavan. Except Krishna Balaram Mandir, we go everywhere. Although this deity is very wonderful, those deities, oh, this is very nice, these are very esoteric places. Oh, we'll go to that village of the Sakhis and that. And Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. Prabhupada himself did not go to any of the holy places outside Kamandreti area, that is Krishna Balaram temple, because he wanted to do the work of Krishna. Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. And there was no time. There is no time to think, oh, what is going to be my spiritual world, and you know, will I be a peacock? I don't like that peacock. It will be a boring life. I can't sometimes, you know, I want to be a blade of grass. That way I will remain humble. I will not fall from the spiritual world. Because Sina that is finished, you know. So how can a grass thing, it's a lesser than the grass. At least I will remain grass. So I just want, sometimes you think, okay, no, this, I like Satyarat. I like to play because I stopped playing. So many games were told not to be played. Only wrestling and swimming is allowed here. So I like to play so many games with Krishna. And this is not the meditation that will actually take us home back to God. And Dhruva Maharaj was actually went to the Himalayas to perform austerity. He wasn't thinking, when is the plane arriving? It is now overdue. The flight is late maybe. Maybe there are some stopovers and maybe the Vaikuntha Airlines was delayed. It just came and it was unexpected for him. He was not expecting, huh? Yes, he didn't read some places. Okay, when the plane comes, what to do? How to board? Boarding pass. Do I have the boarding pass? Do I have to go with the cabin baggage? And what else to do? When he was accosted by this Nanda and Sunanda, these were the two attendants, two boys, as they say in commercial aviation terms, steward training. They give steward training and aerospace training. So this so-called stewards of this plane, this residents of Vaikuntha, they came, and he didn't know how to receive them. He was so surprised and amazed that you cannot receive, you cannot understand, what should I do? And his question at that point of time, and what did he do actually? He just folded his hands and said, I do not know how to receive all of you, all great personalities. Please forgive me. You are so eager to go back to Godhead, but it is not going to be a conscious exercise. It has to be, you should be the spirit that, you know, some devotee said, we will all go home back to Godhead together. Therefore, paramo nirma saranam sukam, we have to deal with our envy, our false ego, our illusion, our pride. We are far off. You should always feel that we are far off. That is the question of separation. If you find that, okay, now I am doing better. I am on this level, anartha nivritti. I am now 85% done. Right? And now only 15% is remaining. And you calculate. Krishna consciousness is not about calculating. Even if you are exerting pure devotion service, it is all up to Krishna as well. Therefore, to feel dependent upon Krishna should be the consciousness of the devotee, like the kitten. The kitten is always expecting the mother to pick it up. And the monkey is always trying to grab to the mother, monkey. So the monkey, the baby monkey's process is that you forcefully enter into the spiritual world and cling on to Krishna. Krishna, you have to take me to the spiritual world. See, I did everything. I chanted 16 rounds, as Prabhupada said. You know Prabhupada? He is founder Acharya ISKCON, if you don't know. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I chanted 16 rounds. He told me, follow 4 English principles, I'll give backdoor entry. But at least give me some small entry from somewhere, if not backdoor. And the kitten philosophy is that you become simply dependent on the mother. When the mother picks up, then you are secure. Our philosophy is to act like the monkey, but to be in the consciousness of the kitten. We should act as if we are like want to achieve Krishna, to show our enthusiasm. But we should be in the mood of dependence on the kitten. And only when Krishna will pick me up, only then I will be delivered. So endeavor has to be there to attract Krishna's attention, but that is not all enough. Only when Krishna will bestow his causeless mercy, only then I'll be able. And therefore, one has to hear, one has to keep hearing. We are actually, just by hearing this transcendental sound vibration, we are changing our subtle body. We are actually dissolving our subtle body. And it is now transforming into spiritual. So here, Prabhupada said, don't do anything new. Prabhupada said, don't make any changes. Whatever I have given, that is sufficient for all of you to go back to Godhead. And sometimes Prabhupada said, everything I wanted to give is there in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So find out for yourself what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Find out what legacy that we inherit. And just stick to that legacy. And don't try to do anything new. That will actually keep us safe in Krishna consciousness. Is that answered the question? I think that we are late, so we'll conclude here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samvita Gaur Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you.